microphone's not doing good tonight, so we just pray, Lord, we just pray my microphone would straighten out and fly right, Lord, in Jesus' name. This is good. Okay, well, let's turn to today to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And get into the Word. I just love this first part right here, especially because it really speaks of what's happened to us with the Chapel on Wheels situation, and having Charlotte here tonight is very special. And just how the Lord is working together with us. He's chosen us to work together with Him to get the trailers back out to the kids. The trailers are gospel teachers that go to the public school system, and this has been going on since 1943, and as Charlotte said, 35 years here in Anaheim. 75 years in Anaheim, and it's just such a blessing. Well, the night that the Lord spoke to me about it, it's about 4 in the morning, He woke me up and just gave me a fire. And I never felt so close to the Lord. And what I felt was verse 1 here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with Him, that actually the Lord allows us to actually be a co-laborer with Jesus. And I felt Jesus in the room that night. He was there, and He was saying to me through the Spirit, He was just saying, I want to start the trailer program again in the worst way. I want to do this. And He was waiting on me to say, God, I want to do this with You, with all my heart. And it was very special, and it's hard to put it in words. But I'd never felt so close to my Savior. I'm sorry about my microphone. I might have to change tonight. It's popping and doing weird things. Oh, thank you, brother. The kids are having a play, and I never should have let them use my microphone. I got to get a new one. He's saying, I just beg you, also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, but be that co-laborer with Jesus Christ as He does His work in this world. For He says, I have heard you in a time, or I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this idea that actually the Lord has things for us to do every day for Him, in Him, with Him, to co-labor with Him, we can be lights in this world. And today is the day of salvation. Now, I got interested in that idea because I know that in Hebrews especially, it talks about this. And I found out in Psalm 95 and in Isaiah, it's also labors on this point that today is the day of salvation, that God wants to reach people all the time, and we can be co-laboring with Him in that idea that He's left us here in the world to be a great witness for Him and to be workers together with Him. And so the Apostle Paul here is just beseeching us and saying, please get into the flow and walk with the Lord that way. So I want to give you some of those scriptures. Isaiah 49:8 talks about today. And then Psalm 95, verse 7 says, today if you will hear His voice. Today if you will hear His voice. Hebrews 3:7, it says the same thing. Today if you will hear His voice. Hebrews 3:13 says, exhort one another daily, encourage to action one another daily while it is still called today, to really be involved in love and good works. reaching out in the name of the Lord. This gives us a sense of excitement about each day. Lord, what are you going to do today? Do you know there's this man named Dwight Moody, and many of know him as a great evangelist for the Lord. But he decided that he would not go to sleep at night unless he shared Jesus with one person, at least one. And one night he was got into bed to go to sleep, and he remembered that he didn't share the Lord with one person that day. He actually got up and put on his clothes and went out on the street and found somebody to tell about Jesus. I thought that was so cool. But also then in Hebrews 3:15, it says, today, if you'll hear his voice. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you'll hear his voice. I mean, it's like the Lord is really thundering with this message and bringing it forth. Now, with this, I'd like to turn with you to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37 and 38. So Matthew 9 and verses 37 and 38. Matthew 9 and verses 37 and 38. It says, now he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. In another place, when he's talking about this, another gospel, he actually says, don't say it's 4 months until the harvest, but lift up your eyes and see that the fields are ripe for harvest all around the world. And then he says these things in that same place. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then he says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, it always begins with prayer. Always begins with prayer. You know, we can't just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and be anointed of God and going forth. But it must be with him, as we saw in chapter 6, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians, that we labor with him. With him, he's the one. He's got the heart to do this thing. And we just connect with him. And he then causes things to happen in a given day, where we can have a moment to say a word for the Lord. It might be with a checker at the supermarket or a little child at the beach. It's just opportunities. And it's just really wonderful that God does this. The harvest is plenteous, but he says pray. And so really, he's asking us like a perfect gentleman, would you pray? Would you ask me today to open a situation for you, and you recognize it that you can say a word for me, and then you'd be laboring together with me and saying something for me? You know, I began to realize this really deep in my own heart when actually Steve Jewell, the youth pastor here, he makes a t-shirt every time he goes to the mountains with the kids, and he goes twice a year. And we've been together for 18 years. So I have a mess of t-shirts all about the Lord. And, you know, I go to the beach and pray on Fridays for my sermon and walk on the beach at the proper times and so forth. But just in the course of time, I found out that I just felt this inkling to wear one of my Christian shirts each time that I go. And then I found myself more and more, even when Sherry and I go to the show, I'll be wearing some kind of shirt about the Lord. And I remember one time I put on a regular shirt, and the Lord said, where's your Christian shirt, man? Now, this is just me. I don't want to lay this burden on you guys, because you don't have Steve Jewell giving you a shirt every 5 minutes. But I've seen so much fruit with this. It's just amazing. And I wanted to show you my favorite shirt that's had the most reactions of all. This is a sweatshirt that Steve gave me. And it's about this group that's run by Raul Reese's son. It's called the Whosoevers. And, of course, it referring to whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so when I go to the beach on a cold day, which the cold days are coming, it says, support your local whosoever. And it has a big W with a circle around it. And I had the most dramatic time with this in the public school system of all places. I went to pick up my granddaughter from school, and I had this sweatshirt on. And there was a little group of ladies in the office area. You know how people gather at certain places. It's around the desk to get my granddaughter from school. And she said, so what's a whosoever? You know, because and a lot of people say, we'll support this, support that. And this just says, support your local whosoever. And so there was, it's a curiosity thing, you know. And so right away, you know how to answer that one, don't you? I mean, you just say, well, it's from the scripture. And then you give the whole gospel in one scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And right away, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit in that, because that's the word of God. And it was a witness for him to not just the lady that asked, but all of her friends. You know, it was so cool. I said, Lord, this is amazing. I'm going to wear this thing everywhere, you know. And I had another experience with this shirt. I was just walking down the street, and a couple of young ladies were coming this way towards me, and they started to smile at me. And I started thinking, man, I must be awful good looking today. You know, I mean, these thoughts go through your mind. But anyway, they were looking at my shirt, and they were rejoicing because they're Christians, and they knew about Raul Reese's son, and they knew about the whosoevers. And so it was instant fellowship, and it was just precious to me, you know. And it's just so great. So I just want to encourage us together. You know, there's things that we can do that God really can use so beautifully. My wife, Sherry, she's a book lady, and she's the written word girl. She loves emails, and she loves to text. And she really can express herself through writings, you know. And she began to take tracks on our vacations, and she would leave tracks everywhere, you know, about Jesus. And then when we were in Hawaii one time, we just got hooked up to this one pastor there that was such a blessing. And he started a homeless ministry on Oahu, on the other side of Oahu at Haleiwa. And it just took off. A lot of people started coming to this homeless ministry, and doctors started to come and take care of them. Miss Hawaii came one time to speak to them. It was just a really dynamic ministry. And so Sherry says, well, what can we do? What do you need? And he says, we need books, because the homeless, they don't have TVs. They don't have electronic devices. And so they read. And so he wanted a book ministry there. So Sherry started sending them books, because she's the librarian here. just mailing them books. And he said the books went like hotcakes among the homeless in Hawaii. And what a blessing. But greater than that, we got so blessed because the manager of Turtle Bay Resort, which is a 42-acre resort with the finest hotels and two golf courses on it, and you can ride horses and fly helicopters off of it. Oh, the rich go to this resort. And Sherry, or the general manager of Turtle Bay, was a Christian. So he said to the pastor that we got to know over there, I need books to for the rich and the famous. So Sherry started shipping them books. So it's just such a dynamic thing that God just explodes these things, you know? I mean, here it is that my wife from a little room in Anaheim is sending books to the homeless, and on the other hand, to the rich and famous. And when we went there to Turtle Bay, we went and he showed us this little bookcase with all of Sherry's books lined up about the Lord in there, and talking about how people come and read them, you know, of the rich and famous. And so what a blessing. But, you know, these are exciting things to think about and exciting things to share, because God really wants to hook up with all of us in one way or another. And, you know, we all have different personalities and different people to speak to. And he wants to reach to every dark corner, every single place on the earth. So that's why we're beginning to see Christian actors in Christian films, and actually whole film companies that are made up of Christians to present the Christian gospel, because God loves Hollywood too and wants to just reach them. He loves the whole world. And so we just pray, God can help us. I want to talk about that part of pray again. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest will send forth labors into the field, because God has got to send us. You know, that was a God thing with Sherry's connections that were made there with this other brother. But the thing is this, is that without the prayer, there's no power, because there's power in prayer. And all the power comes from Jesus through the power of his Holy Spirit. We have to have the Spirit of God leading. And I remember there was this guy across from us in the apartment complex, and I was trying to get up the guts to tell him about Jesus, and I was just afraid. And every time I approached him, you know, he would change the subject, and I would be defeated. And then I remembered, pray therefore. And I began to pray for him. Every single day, I would just pray for him. Said, Lord, somehow, some way, and it doesn't have to be me, Lord, get him the gospel and speak to him. And then, I guess it was a couple of months after praying, he came up to me and he says, hey, I noticed that you talk about God on your car, because we had bumper stickers, you know, and there's a sticker also in your window at your apartment. He said, can you tell me about God? Yes. I'm so glad you asked. But it was the Lord, and it was the prayer. I believe that, that we can just begin to pray. You know, those people in our area of influence, whether it be at work or school, wherever it is, you just start praying. Say, God, just bring the opening, bring something about. And then we become, as the Apostle Paul exhorts us here, working together with him, because that's what he's about. He wants to save as many as he can before he comes. We take the long suffering of the Lord as salvation, the Bible says. We see it as salvation. We're looking for him to come, but he doesn't come, and he doesn't come. And why doesn't he come yet? Because he's being patient. We account or put for the long suffering of the Lord, the patience of the Lord, as salvation for someone else. And just be open as vessels. And so this is what the Apostle Paul's exhorting us about here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. So let's go back there to chapter 6. And I'd like to go ahead, and before we're on the way back there, but let's go to 1 Peter 3:15. I wanted to show you that one, 1 Peter 3:15. This is a very famous scripture, and it's so good for us to read it again. 1 Peter 3, chapter 3 and verse 15 says, sanctify or honor the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with humility and respect. or with meekness and fear, it says in the King James translation. And so the Lord is telling us to always be ready. This is part of the armor of God. It says that we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And that means being prepared to tell someone about the Lord. You know, I heard a story about a group of men in World War I, and one of them got shot. He was in the trenches in France, in the Argonne in France, World War I, and he got shot, and he knew he was dying. And he said, "Does anybody know how to get to heaven?" And this one guy panicked. He just didn't know what to say to him. He knew that he knew God in his heart, but he didn't know how to tell this other man that was dying that, you know, how to accept Jesus before he died. And so he went running down the line, screaming at the top of his lungs, "Does anybody know how to get to God? Does anybody know how?" And there was this one guy that said, yeah, I do. And so they brought him back to the man that was dying. He just gave him one verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And that man accepted Jesus, and then he died. Praise God. But man, how important is it to know the answer? How important is it to know the answer of what you're going to say, to be ready to give an answer? Sanctify the Lord God and be ready always to give an answer for the hope that's inside you. And that story really hit me when I had heard that. Need to be ready. And so that is probably the best verse in the Bible, to just know by heart, to be able to just say to somebody, you just believe in Jesus, you look to him, and he'll take you to heaven. As many as received him, gave he power to become the children of God. Now, I'd like to go a step further with you on this, because I think it's important for conversational time. If you have an opportunity for a conversational time with somebody and you want to share Jesus with them, the best way to go, I think, is the Romans Road to Salvation. And that's four scriptures, just four scriptures. You just have to know four scriptures. And you can give them a complete, well-rounded explanation of why they need Jesus and how they can receive him. And I'll just quote these verses to you. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, one way that you can do this is have them read that, if you're sitting down with them, out of the Bible, and then say, "Explain this in your own words." What does that mean, that all have come short of the glory of God? What does that mean? Well, that means that everybody sinned. Everybody. There's no exceptions. Everybody's made boo-boos, errors. And then you go to the next verse in the Romans Road to Salvation, Romans 5:8. It says that God displayed his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow, what does that mean? Oh, well, Jesus came down and died because we've all sinned. And then you go to Romans 6:23, and it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then you can ask them to explain back to you what that means in their own words. And man, they're just really getting steeped in salvation scriptures, aren't they? Romans 6:23. Wow, there's a gift, and he's Jesus. And he, you know, the wages of sin is death. I'm going to die without Jesus. And then finally, Romans 10:9. "If you will confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." You mean I can get saved by actually confessing Jesus as my Lord and believing that he rose from the dead? Those two things? Well, that's what the Bible says. Romans 10:9 and 10. And it then all of a sudden it dawns on them through this little journey, this little discussion, that that's the way to do it. And verse 10 of Romans 10, it says, because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. It's that easy. It's that wonderful. It's that beautiful. And even a little child can understand that. And so you've had a good, solid discussion with somebody by just knowing four scriptures. And, you know, it's really neat to be able to tell somebody that's maybe questioning you or whatever. You can say, you know what? If you would just let me read to you four scriptures, I can tell you the whole story. This actually happened to us when we bought our car. We went to buy a Toyota down there at South Coast Toyota. And, of course, the salesman wanted to make friends with me, and I think that was partially what was happening. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, good, yeah. Well, I've heard about the Lord and stuff, and maybe to get me to buy the car. I don't know. You never know what's going on. But anyway, we ended up at his desk, and I had some time with him. And he was saying, you know, I'm just not sure about salvation because there's so many books in the Bible and so many things. And so I just said, I can show you four scriptures that can explain the whole thing to you. Is it okay if I share those with you? And he said, yes. And so I was able to sit down and do this with him and just let him know the whole story. And it's so great to have that inside of us, you know, have it inside you. Be ready always. Be prepared with the gospel. Have your scriptures ready. So, and God will bring situations in the day, and that you will actually be co-laboring with him and actually entering in with him to the labor of making the gospel known and having that opportunity. It is so beautiful. Okay, well, let's just go back then to 2 Corinthians. And actually, it's kind of along the same subject, but just a few more scriptures here I wanted to share with you about this. So reading again verse 2, for he says, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored you. Behold, now in the accepted time, today's the day of salvation, the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. And at this time now, the Lord gives us kind of a resume to make our words, of being prepared with the right words, with the right scriptures to give to someone, and being prepared in our lives. That it's important that we give no offense in anything, that the ministry might not be blamed. Oh, that's important. Actually, Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, he said, Father, sanctify me or separate me to yourself, that I might sanctify them. And the sanctification of the Lord comes through example. The teaching of the Lord comes through example. Peter said that elders should be an example. And Jesus taught by example. Jesus said what should be and that is right, and then he'd do it in front of them. And so this is what God wants to train within us Christians, is to give no offense, as Paul says here, in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I'd like to, just for a minute, to turn over to 1 Timothy on this, 1 Timothy, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It talks about the qualifications of being a leader in the church. And so, you know, this is always convicting to us, but just instructive to us, that God's serious about walking with him. And as we walk with him, that gives our words power. Have you ever heard the saying, you know, your actions are speaking louder than your words? You know, you don't want to be screaming like a banshee, and yelling cuss words and then tell somebody about Jesus. You know, it just doesn't work. So we want to be example to the believers. Well, let's look at 1 Timothy for just a second here, because it gives a list of things. It says, if we want to be a leader in the church, in verse 2 of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, it says, we must be blameless. Now, blameless, that means that nobody can come up to you and say, you did this, and I saw you doing that. And what are you doing telling people about Jesus? And so we work on that, don't we? We ask God to help us. Lord, please make us blameless. The husband of one wife, or the reverse is true, also the wife of one husband. Vigilant, that is, watchful, be sober, of good behavior, behaving ourselves, not being rude and pushy, but being of good behavior, given to hospitality, kind to people, ready to help people, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker. Striker means to be hitting people. That's not good. Not greedy of filthy lucre, all into it for money. Oh, that's terrible. So many people complain about that, these hypocrites that just want to get rich because of the gospel. But we have to watch out for that. But we're to be patient, not a brawler, not covetous, or, looking at everybody else's stuff. I want your Corvette so bad I can taste it, kind of thing. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice or just a brand new believer, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Have to be careful to be trained and get closer to God to be a leader, because there's a danger of getting prideful about it. Look at me. I'm doing this. I've got this position in the church now, and being prideful about it. And then the devil comes in like a flood and brings condemnation. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, the non-believers. I was so proud of Pastor George's father. We did his funeral here at the church. He lives in Sudan, but they were able to video in some of the relatives and stuff to do the service here at the church for George's dad. And all the testimonies, he was a Christian man, and he would just take care of the poor in their city in Sudan and help them with their cars all the time and give them special deals and even give away things a lot. Everybody in that whole town, whether they were Muslim or Christian alike, loved George's dad. He had a good rapport with those that were not Christians because he was loving and giving and always ready to help people. And then it says, lest he fall into the snare of the devil. So these things are important to God. Now we look at these lists and we get convicted about some of these things, because no one's perfect, right? And God forgives us and we move on. But this is just to let us know these things are really important, that we should not be doing bad stuff, that the ministry not get blamed. Because people will blame the ministry. Oh, they will. They'll say, he calls himself a Christian. All those guys down there at the church are hypocrites. Well, I had an answer for a guy once where he said, everybody at church is a hypocrite. That's why I don't go to church. And I said, well, yeah, it's true. It's where they go to the hospital to get better. And Jesus Christ is not just a crutch. He's an intensive care unit for people to get better. And so we're all here together, and we just want to do the best we can, right? We just want to be the greatest witness we can, and we just want to obey what the Apostle Paul's saying and just let's not get out of hand, that the ministry be not blamed. And so that's what he's saying there. Well, let's go back then to 2 Corinthians 6 as it goes on here. And it says this. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience. And, you know, patience comes from trials. And so if you pray for patience, you'll probably get a few trials. But it helps us, right? In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And so as we have these attributes coming through us, in patience, in the things that are hard for us to take, in our necessities, when we need money, and then we're trusting God for it and waiting on Him for it. And when we're stressed out, we just need to keep going back to the Lord and quoting the verse, you know, that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You know, to me, that is like medication. I used to have panic attacks really, really bad, and some of you remember that. I just was so terrified to fly, absolutely terrified. I was so terrified that for our 25th wedding anniversary, we were going to go to Hawaii for the first time with another couple. All our kids are grown, so we had a little money, you know. You got to grow up your kids, then you get some money. And and so I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and I just knew I couldn't get on the plane. And I thought about waking Sherry up and telling her I couldn't go, but I knew she would kill me. So I dragged my carcass to the airport, but I was just terrified, you know. And the Lord began to work with me on that, and He gave me a pill, an aspirin, a medication for my fear. To just quote over and over again, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And then I learned through a little time to receive the power of love. He loves me so much that I can trust Him in any situation. So I received the love and a sound mind. You're not crazy. You're not crazy. I know you think you're crazy, but you're not crazy. You could just receive a sound mind from the Lord. And that was medication for me. And I just began to quote that verse over and over again. And God began to heal me and touch me. We went to Israel, 14-hour flight, nonstop to Tel Aviv from L.A. It was 14 hours. And I thought that was going to be kind of hard on me. But I read the whole Bible, and it brought me such peace, I couldn't believe it. I finished the book of Revelation, and then we landed. It was just amazing. It was just amazing what God did there. But, you know, I'm just not afraid to fly anymore. We've been in 18 countries now since then, and we flew in a helicopter with no doors and no windows, and I loved it. It was such a blast. It was like a ride at Disneyland. But it's the Lord. God can do it. God can take away our fears, and we can magnify Him in distresses. Whenever you see distresses in the Bible, that means stress. I'm so stressed out, man. Well, yeah. But, you know, we can be patient in our distresses. And we can be looking to Jesus, and Jesus can do anything. And now, here in these next verses, it says, in stripes he was beaten. Apostle Paul was beaten 5 times with rods, in imprisonments, in tumults, which is actually, let me get closer to this word because my contacts are giving me trouble. Attacks. Okay, tumults are attacks. In labors, in watchings, and in fastings. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, or love that's not faked. You know, not like the Hollywood love. Love you, bro, that kind of thing. but real live love, not just in word, but in deed, because real love is a high performance thing. People ready to love indeed are that's true love, to really take care of each other. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, we put on the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. These things are all part of an armor that God wants us to put on piece by piece every morning to actually go forth on the right hand and on the left. And with these things, we can even have victory in prison. Now, probably most of us haven't been in prison, but the Apostle Paul was in prison for the gospel twice. The first time he got out, and the second time he was killed in prison for the Lord. But he's saying here, even in stripes, even in imprisonments, he can have victory in the Lord. And I want to give you an example of that in the Bible tonight that's really cool. Let's turn to the book of Philippians in the New Testament and go to verse 12. Now, Philippians is known as the letter of joy, absolute pure joy. And Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He's going, what in the world is going on? He's writing a letter about pure joy, and he's in prison. Well, that's what he's talking about back here in 2 Corinthians. He can, in even in his imprisonments, he could receive that blessed walk with Jesus. And it was because he was walking side by side with Jesus to do the work of the Lord that we began our whole night talking about. He says, I would that you should understand, brothers, this is verse 12 of chapter 1 of Philippians, that the things which have happened to me, that is the imprisonment, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Here I am in prison, but this has happened to me so that the gospel could go further, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Now, that's Caesar's palace. It's not the one in Las Vegas. It's in Rome. But in Caesar's palace, his chains were talked about, and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's in prison for doing this, and he's doing okay, and he's writing joy letters. And so they're emboldened to be able to go forth. Now, what's so great about this? You know, Paul was chained 8 hours a day, and they took shifts by a Praetorian guard, one of Caesar's choice guards, had to stay with Paul, chained to him all day long. Well, Paul, what do you think he talked about? He just got all filled with the Spirit and told him about the Lord. And so when Paul finishes this letter, and this is the reason he's so filled with joy, he begins in chapter 1 by saying, you know, brethren, the things that have happened to me here have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. He talks about those in the palace. Then in Philippians 4, when he closes the letter, we see a connection of the reason that the joy was so big. Because he says in chapter or verse 22 of the last chapter, chapter 4 of Philippians, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that be of Caesar's household. Look at that. Caesar's relatives are getting saved, man. The guards that are guarding me are coming to the Lord. And he was just filled with the knowledge that he was co-laboring with Jesus Christ. There is no greater wonderful blessing than that. You just go crazy with knowing that in the Lord. And so that is a magnificent, magnificent thing. Now let's go back and finish, I just want to show you some more verses to verse 10 and just talk about how so many times things that look bad in this life, God is making for good for us and actually giving us great blessings. And this is hard to describe without experiencing it, you know? So I think probably all of us can identify with some of this, and I'll just tell you a couple little stories about it. But let's read verses 8 through 10, and that's all we're going to read tonight. But it says this, by honor and dishonor, whether you're honored, and that's always fun when they honor you, you know, here's so-and-so, and he's wonderful, she's wonderful, you're being honored, but also in dishonor, when they're spitting on you and they're calling you names and like, oh, here comes the Jesus freak or whatever. So by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, because you will get evil reports in this world by some and good reports by others. As deceivers and yet true. And so many believe that the things concerning the Lord are lies. So as deceivers, they're seeing you as liars. But yet you're true because you're just telling the truth about your Savior. As unknown and yet well known. Well, that has been so true in my life. I've been hurt sometimes with other pastors in the Calvary Chapel system because they're mean to me. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but I'm just being truthful and transparent. But and I understand why, because they're so busy. I mean, these guys with churches of 5,000 and more, they're just all the time hindered with being interrupted by people. So if they're in a bad mood, then, you know, and you try to talk to them, they say things that hurt you. And that's happened to me several times with the bigger guys. And so it's like I'm unknown, you know, I'm on a cul-de-sac and Anaheim and nobody knows me. I love what Louis said years ago. If I labor in the Lord in obscurity the rest of my life, I'm still praising him, right? It's great, you know. And yet well known. And I've experienced that. It, you know, the other night we went to this play down there at the Performing Arts Center in Costa Mesa. And this guy runs up to me and he says, I was in your church as a little boy and I drank in every single word you said and you're just wonderful. I just want to stand here and be with you. And I was so honored, you know. I felt like, you know, some kind of movie star or something. But as unknown and yet well known. And God balances that in our lives to keep our pride levels at the right level, right? As dying, and behold, we live. The Apostle Paul says, I die daily. And you know, there's another scripture that's always ministered to me, death in us, life in them. Sometimes we drag our carcasses here or there to do something for the Lord and just to be there to help somebody or whatever, and we just feel like we're dying. But death in us, life in them, and they receive more life, and they're blessed. And that is makes it worth it. As chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. You know, Jesus had that balance going on in his own life. It says he was a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. And he sure enough was. He was a man of sorrows and well acquainted with grief. And you can be a person of sorrows and well acquainted with grief. But by the same token, it said, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. There was a secret, beautiful loveliness about his joy with the Father that no one else had. I mean, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows because he hated evil and loved righteousness. And that's the way it works with us too. As being sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now, the last two things here are kind of my favorite, and I want to kind of just enjoy these with you. It says that as being poor, yet making many rich. You can be as poor as a church mouse, just getting by. Just, you know, not many funds. But you can make many rich in the things of God. I remember Brother Marvin. Now, Brother Marvin, some of you don't know him, but he was our choir director. He died at 93 here at our church, and everybody loved him. And he said that he wanted to leave good things to his grandchildren when he died. And I remembered a proverb, Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I remember having a discussion with Marvin about this and just thinking, man, Marvin, you're leaving so much to your grandchildren. And just your closeness with Jesus, your love for the Lord, you've made an impact upon your whole family. And that is worth all the tea in China. I know Dr. Dobson put it this way. He said to his son, when I get to heaven, just be there. Just be there. I don't want you not there in heaven when I get there. And that became the most important thing in his message. And that is a true inheritance to your children's children, no matter how poor you are. And so, as poor, yet making many rich. And then, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. This is a wonderment that I just love to think about. You know, I was on the phone with a really good friend that actually was in our first Bible study, and he has a photographic memory. Therefore, he ended up at USC. He became a doctor, and he makes $2 million a year. He's got two offices, one in Temecula and one in Corona, a skin doctor. And funny, oh, he's so funny. Sherry went to see him. I went in with her. She had something on her back she was worried about. And he looks at her back and goes, do you have life insurance? We all started cracking up, you know. He's a real funny guy. But anyway, he says to me, Mark, I have a house at the beach in San Clemente, and I have a house in Temecula in the desert area, and I have a brand new car. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, I've got a house at the beach, and I have a house in the desert, and we just got a new car. So I got the same thing he does. And I only make $60,000 a year. How do you do that? Jesus. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. And one day I went down to the beach, and there were hundreds and hundreds of birds there, and they were all landed in the water, and nobody was at the beach, just this one lady walking along. And I paddled out on my surfboard, and I started bobbing with the birds. And it was just amazing, amazing, all those birds. The great big ones, the pelicans, and then the terns, and all of those little sand walkers, they were all there, and they were with me, and I felt like they were my friends. I felt like they came to the zoo, and I was what they were looking at. All those little eyes looking at me, you know? So precious. As having nothing, yet possessing all things, and just beginning to worship the Lord over that, and be blessed with that. And then one time, Sherry and I went down to the beach. This is really a true story. And, you know, that one I just told you, I was there alone, so I could have exaggerated this. But in my mind, I didn't. But when Sherry and I went to the beach one day, and there was porpoise out in front of the jetty. And so I came in real fast because I saw him out there. Said, Sharon, come on, come with me. Let's go see the porpoise. So we went on one little a boogie board out together in the water. And there was people, it was a crowded day. There was people lined up on the jetty, standing up. And then there was people on all along the beach. You know, it was a hot day. Everybody's there. It's summer. But anyway, three porpoise jump out of the water, full body, all at the same time, 10 feet from Sherry and I, and crossed in the air. And you know, they always tell you, Marineland, that they're just having the porpoise do stuff that they do in the wild all by themselves, but they just train them to do on command. Well, that was what happened. It was so dramatic that all the people on the jetty started clapping, and on the people on the beach were applauding the porpoise and the show that they were putting on. And God put that right in front of our face as having nothing yet possessing all things. It's just amazing what God has done. And God's blessed so much. And God wants to bless us so much with those things that cost nothing. And it doesn't matter if you're poor or rich, it doesn't matter. As poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. I got to share one more beach story. It's just so great. Sherry was watching me boogie board, and she noticed this really great body surfer next to me, right next to me, as I'm boogie boarding on this wave. And then she recognized it was a 9-foot seal that was surfing the same wave as me. And it's like he saw me take off, and I remember something whipping past the back of my head, and I said, "What is that?" And she just thought it was at first a really good body surfer, but it was this harbor seal. And he rode the wave all the way into shore with me. And when I stopped on my board and looked over, he was like 3 feet from me in water this deep. And he turned over and looked at me with his eye. Like, good ride, dude. I mean, it was so wonderful. And then he swam off. And I just thought, that was the Lord. That's the Lord. You know? As having nothing, yet possessing all things. And so these are just stories that just come to my mind when I think of these scriptures. These are real. God isn't whistling Dixie in here in the Bible. You know, he's making his word alive, and he wants to let us know that he is so close to us, wants to work with us, wants to bless us in no matter what walk of life we're in or how much money we have or don't have. It does not matter. He is just the most amazing God, is he not? And the Apostle Paul realizes that and just is writing about it to us. And what a blessing, what a blessing. Well, let's pray together. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's just so wonderful to just meditate on it, think about it, see how it applies to our own lives, and to get closer and closer and closer and closer to you every single day. Lord, help us to be helpful to you. We want to go ahead and do those things that you have called us to do and sense and know. I'm working with God. God's working with me. And we're going forth with you, Lord. It's just indescribably delicious. So, Lord, thank you for these that love you, that love your word, that are here tonight to just worship you and sing to you and love you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.